like to begin this morning with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us this day as we study in Scripture and worship your Son, and pray that you guide us all by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, and give us blessings from the word which you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to welcome those who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes, and you've probably heard a bunch of bad reports coming from Wisconsin during the last week or so about the cold temperatures, but I'd like to remind you not to believe everything you hear. For example, while I was coming home from work the other day, while it was announced over the radio that the temperature was 15 degrees below zero, and that wasn't true at all. When I got home and looked at my thermometer, it was only 14 below. So it's not nearly as bad sometimes as what you're hearing. But anyway, it is a beautiful, beautiful time of year. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to James chapter 3. And we're going to look at the final verses. I'd like to read them through and then go back and take what the Holy Spirit has given us. It's the text is in James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, and we're going to be reading through to the end of the chapter. The words read this way. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, the first thing we notice here, I think, is a tremendous contrast between what we had last week and what we've got this week. And the big contrast would come between verses 6 and verse 17. Verse 6 reads this way, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And from the depths of hell, then, the Holy Spirit takes us up into heaven. In verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." It depends on, really, finally, who is controlling the tongue, the Holy Spirit or the devil. And I guess as we go back, like, looking at verse 13, and just a few thoughts. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? What kind of person would that be? Well, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? So a person who is really wise, I mean really truly wise, is one who knows Scripture. And if we look way, way back at verse 1, why, it talked about masters or teachers back there. So the chapter can be applied in different ways, but for one thing, it can be applied to the ministry. It can also be applied to every single one of us. Now, when I think of the ministry, when I think of a man who is endowed with knowledge among you, I think of a pastor who is busy at least much of the day, many, many times during the week, sitting in the study with an open Bible and studying and meditating upon the Word of God. And that's where it all starts. And it a lot of times isn't done that way, and sometimes people seem to tend to think about this in the wrong way. They tend to think that a minister learns everything you have to know at the seminary. Well, you've been to seminary for 3 years. Well, you must know it all. And that's not true. You don't learn it all at the seminary. In fact, the most important thing I learned at the seminary was this, that when you guys get out there, make sure you study the Word every day. This is a constant growing process. You never know it all, and you've got to keep growing and growing and growing in grace. This isn't something that you stop when you leave the seminary. We're just giving you guys a start. That's what one of the profs told us. We're just getting you started. Now you go and continue the rest of your life. And that's true. That's the way it should be. Now, sadly, sometimes it isn't. If you really want to know what's going on sometime, maybe what you should do is look at the weekly calendars that pastors have. That's because sometimes can be quite revealing. Meetings here, meetings there, every night is filled, every afternoon is filled, every morning is filled. Then you have to ask the question, well, and if you're doing all this stuff, when are you having time to study the Word? And even before that, you know, if a pastor's married and he has a family, the first obligation that he has is not preaching in the pulpit on Sunday. The first obligation that he has is to his wife and his children, to dwell with them and to raise them the way God wants them raised. And this takes time. And you know that. It takes time. If the time isn't spent and it's not done right, there are terrible, terrible things that happen. And this is why so often, and I don't think I'm revealing any secrets, and so often in pastors' families, the whole thing is just total chaos. Kids are the worst examples you could find. And there's a reason for that. And sometimes this thing gets all warped. And I had a friend of mine, one of my classmates at the seminary, for example, and I'm not going to reveal names here, but I'll tell you this, that he was elected to a very high position in the World Mission Board. And in that particular position, he was gone an awful lot. And his father was talking to me one time. He said, you know, and he was proud of this. He said, you know, he said, my son is so busy spreading the gospel that his children don't even know him. And he's bragging about that? That's not the way it's supposed to be. The first thing a person's going to be judged on is how you relate it to your family. What kind of a husband have you been to your wife? What kind of a wife have you been to your husband? What kind of a husband or what kind of a father or mother have you been to your children? I mean, God gives you children in order to raise them up to know Him. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. Have you done that? It all starts right there. And then after that, then comes the preaching and teaching. And this takes a lot of time too. There was a man named Spurgeon one time that wrote a book called Lectures to My Students. And one of the things he warned his students about was this. He said, when you men get out of the ministry, he said, the greatest danger that you have is becoming a professional. Now, what did he mean by that? That you crank out a sermon because that's your job. You got to do that. You crank out a Bible study because that's your job. You got to do that. That shouldn't be the motive for all this. But it's easy to get involved in that. He said, you know, nobody can preach a sermon to a congregation in the right way unless he's first preached it to his own heart. And you can't teach Scripture to other people unless, first of all, the Holy Spirit has brought it to you. It's a very, very simple thing, and yet it's so easy to get off the track. And one of the reasons it's easy to get off the track is because a lot of people in the congregations expect the wrong things from their pastors. They want somebody that's a public relations man, somebody that's visible in the community, busy doing a lot of things. Well, you can't be in two places at the same time. And finally, a choice has to be made, just as you as individual people have to make a choice. I'll guarantee you're going to be busy your whole life. And the older you get, the busier you're going to be, and you're going to have to make choices. You're going to have priorities. And you children, it should start right now. Some time every day should be spent in the most important thing, that's the one thing needful, and that's in the Word of God. If you're not doing that, a whole bunch of bad things can happen. Look at some of the bad things that are mentioned here. Oh, boy. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, strife there can be translated as self-seeking. If you find yourself being bitter, envying other people, you find yourself with strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The word glory, don't be proud, don't be overly exalted. You know, some people are. It happens in the clergy quite often where people have doctor's degrees and they're pretty proud of that. One man said that guys like this are donkeys laden with books, carrying books. That's about all it is. A true knowledge comes from Scripture. All these titles don't mean anything, nothing to be proud about, nothing to be arrogant about. And then lying, sometimes that happens too. You wouldn't expect that in the church, would you? But don't forget, the devil tries to work from the inside out. He's going to work harder in the church than he does anywhere else. So there's the way things should be done. A lot of times they're different from the way things are being done. In verse 15, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly. It comes right from the earth. It's sensual. It cares about physical things. It's devilish. And you find a lot of stuff of this going on too, of earthly ways of doing things in the church, business practices that are brought in because this is the way the businesses do them, but that doesn't mean it's the way it should be done in the church. But this sort of thing can happen, and it goes down and down and down, and then where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. And finally, the whole thing just kind of bursts apart. And the contrast is in verse 17. The wisdom that God gives, the wisdom is from above, is first pure. And I want you to notice that. Very, very important. It is first pure. That's the first thing. And then after that, if the Word of God is pure, then after that, a peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and the whole thing goes down. It's a beautiful, beautiful situation. But the key thing is right at the beginning of verse 17, that first of all, the wisdom has to be pure. In other words, you have to follow the Word of God. And if this isn't done, in your life too, if this isn't done, then a lot of times things will not be peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits, etc. And, you know, there's been some kind of terrible things that have happened. I remember one time, for example, at a big congregational meeting that we had, and something was brought up, a motion put on the floor, and I forget exactly what area it was in right now, but it was absolutely, directly contrary to Holy Scripture. So before they voted, I said, I want to open the Bible to you and read to you what God says about how this is supposed to be done. So I did. I stood and started reading. And all of a sudden there was a voice from the back of the room. A guy got up and said, "Put that book away." And I said, "No, we're not going to put the book away. This is what God is saying. We're going to listen to this and we're going to do it His way." He said, "You shut that book up and you put it away." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to shut that book up. I'm not going to put it away." So he started coming up. Now, he was pretty big. He looked like about 6'6" and 250 pounds. And he started coming up, and he was angry. And the president of the congregation and a couple other guys got up and surrounded him and stopped him from coming up. It was a real mismatch. If he would have gotten past these guys, there were a couple legions of angels ready to take care of him. But the point I'm trying to make, this man,
would not listen to the Word of God, did not want to do it that way, had his own idea how it was going to be done, and we did not have a peaceable meeting. It was terrible. Just a terrible, terrible thing. But the thing is, first of all, it's got to be pure. And you remember down in Egypt when Moses went to Pharaoh, and Moses was called the meekest man in all the earth. And to be meek doesn't mean you're a chicken or a jellyfish. It means that you follow the word of God the way he says it. And God had told Moses, now I want you to take the people out in the wilderness. I want you to go 3 days' journey out there, and I want you to sacrifice to me. And you tell Pharaoh that. So Moses went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord says that we should do. Pharaoh says, oh, I'm not going to let you do it. I don't know the Lord God of Israel. I'm not going to let these people go, and I'm not going to let you go out there. So Pharaoh wouldn't listen to the word of God. So then a bunch of plagues started coming into Egypt, and things got pretty tough down there. So then Pharaoh tried to compromise. He called Moses and he said, well, I'll let you sacrifice to God, but I'm not going to let you go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness, sacrifice to the Lord, and do it right here in Egypt. Now, Moses could have said, well, that sounds fair. You've given a little, and we'll give a little. Yeah, probably all would have been all right. He said, no. I can't do that. The word of God is, first of all, pure. God said, go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness, and that's the way we're going to do it. We're not going to do it in Egypt. We're going to do it like God said. Pharaoh said, well, then you can't go. Okay, so then there's more plagues come. And four times Pharaoh tried to compromise. Four times he threw out things to try to get Moses to fudge just a little bit, and Moses wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do it. And so there wasn't peace. There was strife, there was contention, there was war. But whose fault was it? Was it Moses' fault or was it Pharaoh's fault? Well, it's Pharaoh's fault, right? If Pharaoh would have followed the word of God, if he would have listened and said, okay, let's do it God's way, there wouldn't have been any problem. But he wouldn't do that. So the guilt finally falls on his head. I remember what Jesus said one time. You know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, what kind of peace did he give? He made peace through his blood on the cross. He made peace between you and God, between me and God, because we're sinners. And this sin makes us enemies of God. It separates us. And Jesus Christ made peace between us and God by dying on the cross, forgiving our sins, covering our sins with his blood, and now we're children of God. This is the kind of peace that he made. But he did not make peace with children of the devil. He said, don't think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And one day, Jesus walked into the temple. And he looked around. And what do you think he saw? He saw a bunch of people in there that set up businesses and they were making money. Now, he could have turned and walked right out, and everything would have been nice and peaceful. But he didn't. He said, you guys, you get out of here. It is written in Scripture, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, and you guys have made it a den of thieves. Now get out. And he made a whip, and he went in there, and he started swinging. And he drove every single one of them out. Now, I wonder what the headlines in the paper read the next day. You know, this was not a peaceful scene. It was strife and contention and everything else. But the Word of God, first of all, has to be pure, and then it's peaceable. And so, if they'd have been following Scripture, it would have been a peaceful scene, but it wasn't. And the same thing in your life. You're going to do things the way God wants them done. Sometimes people aren't going to like that. Sometimes maybe your friends won't like it. Well, what are you going to do? First of all, this has to be pure. That is the most important thing, because if the Word of God is not pure, then all of a sudden real bad things start to happen. When the Word of God is contaminated, souls are lost. So this is the key thing. And then when you're right with the Word of God, then you have a peaceable relationship with those that are agreeing with you. Christian congregation then is exactly what it should be. Gentle, easy to be entreated, easy to talk to. Not stiff, not proud, not envious, without partiality. You love everyone because they're children of God. Don't play favorites. And without hypocrisies, no lying, everything is open, a real beautiful relationship. And we pray that that's what the Holy Spirit will give us here at Water of Life. And we'll close this sermon now with a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that each one of us may treasure the one thing needful, and grant that always we may give you first fruits of time and meditate upon your word by day and by night. And with each one of us, let the word of God first of all be pure, and then all the other good fruits will follow. And this is only a product of your grace and mercy and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.